the theme park capital of the world, bringing you the latest in theme park news. Welcome to the Thrill Geek Podcast.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Thrill Geek Podcast. I'm Clint, and joining us for the first time on the podcast, for those of you that have watched the Thrill Geek this week, back when we were doing the live stream, Miss Janine here joined us. So now she's going to be, what I'm hoping, a regular on the podcast. So everybody say hello to Janine. Janine, thank you for joining us. Barry kind of had a schedule conflict, so Janine and I are here on this week's episode, which is perfect for Janine and I because we are dragon, what would you say, Janine? Aficionados?
Aficionados, geeks, all the things about dragons.
We're going to keep this week's episode fairly concise, and we're going to focus on, I know we're late, but we wanted to go back and revisit the How to Train Your Dragon Isle of Burke announcement for Epic Universe. So Janine and I are just going to focus on that, and we're just going to nerd out about How to Train Your Dragon Isle of Burke, because I think we could do an entire podcast episode on that. So that's what we're going to attempt.
100%.
And then we're also briefly at the beginning, we're going to talk about Stella Nova and Terra Luna. There's not much there to talk about, but I figured I could go over some of the things that they announced, Universal announced for those resorts, since it's kind of right there next to Epic Universe. And, you know, it's right there. So, but yeah, Janine, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. As I said, she's hopefully going to be a regular here, whether it's her and I or Barry and her or all three of us. You know, she joined us several times on the live stream, mainly the Halloween Horror Nights ones, if I remember.
Yes.
Because that is our forte here at Thrill Geek is Halloween Horror Nights. So, but yeah, she loves theme parks in general. So Janine, kind of tell everybody, since this is the podcast, just kind of like who you are, why you love theme parks, and you know, if you have a favorite ride, or you know, just kind of tell people about yourself.
I can definitely do that. Hi, I'm Janine. I've been in Florida since the age of three, and since then I've been a theme park junkie. I remember going to Animal Kingdom its opening year, Islands of Adventure its opening year, being completely and totally obsessed with all things Universal, Disney, you name it. My favorite ride, I probably have to say it differs based on the park I go to, but Revenge of the Mummy is always a favorite. I actually have a tattoo based on that. And then funny enough, over in Islands of Adventure is definitely Dr. Doom's Fearfall. And I have a Dr. Doom tattoo as well in honor of the ride and in honor of, you know.
This is new to me. I didn't know you had a Dr. Doom tattoo.
I do. I got it as a flash piece for a friend's, it was like a charity thing.
Yeah.
So now I have it on me forever. But yeah, anytime I go on the ride, I just giggle to myself that I'm like, I can't believe I did this.
That's awesome.
But yeah, and I work in digital marketing, and so love all things digital. And like Clint said, Halloween Horror Nights is my jam. Dragons, for those who are seeing the video of this, have dragons in the background from Dueling Dragons Dragon Challenge. But yeah, really excited to be here and definitely looking forward to being more of a regular on this and chatting all things theme parks, since it's one of my biggest loves.
It is. And it's mine too. That's why I started Thrill Geek. Yeah. Not hello. I actually ran into somebody the other yesterday. We were eating lunch with the kids, and this guy was a fan of Thrill Geek, and I was like, I was talking to him about like why I started it, and I was like, I just started it because I moved down here in 94, and I just, like you, I just...
Yeah, 94, same year.
So you and I are very, very similar in that respect of, you know, we moved down here, and it took a couple years. It wasn't like immediate, you know, because when we moved down here, we had to kind of get settled in, and then we, you know, my dad took us to Disney, and then we took the trip to Universal, and my first Halloween Horror Nights was the Crypt Keeper, which was 96.
Yeah, that was 95.
I think it was 96.
Yeah,
that was my first year for Halloween Horror Nights. So that's what hooked me onto Halloween Horror Nights, was my first visit, because I was like, this is cool.
Yep.
This is like
My first one was a super classic. Mine was Carnival of Carnage. Mm-hmm. And I still have my tumbler. It is cracked and it's fading. The bottom's the same, but I still have it. I'm still hoping for, you know, a Freddy resurgence at some point to come back to Horror Nights, fingers crossed. But yeah, that got me hooked when I remember being the one of my friends who was like, this is really cool.
Yeah.
It's really fun. Like scary. Yeah. Like when you're a teenager, you're like, it's a little scary. But yeah, definitely hooked me in. And I know for us now, it's like going how many nights we do every year. It's kind of crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So look at us now. Look at us now. Oh gosh. So, but yeah, no, you know, Janine's, she's a thrill geek. Let's put it plain and simple, which is why, you know, we're friends and
yeah,
glad to have her here on the podcast, you know, nerding out about all things, theme parks. And, so yeah, without further ado, like I said, I'm going to bring up for our video, podcast friends here, our slideshow, and quickly chat about the Universal Stella Nova and Terra Luna resorts, which Universal announced some details about. Like I said, there's not a lot here to go off of. They announced, you know, some of the specs about the pool, the hotels. Both properties are going to offer 750 double queen guest rooms that'll sleep up to four guests. And there were a lot of people complaining about this. I don't think there's going to be, I haven't heard anything about any sort of family suites or anything, but there were a lot of people that were like, oh, families of five are going to be upset about this. And I was like, well, clearly Universal has enough data to go off of that they're only making, you know, these rooms for four people. That was one thing I noticed online that a lot of people were like upset about and up in arms about. Each hotel will feature a nearly 10,000 square foot pool with a relaxing hot tub. And then as far as food and beverage options, Cosmos Cafe and Market will be over at Stella Nova Resort, and Omega Cafe and Market will be over at Terra Luna Resort. And there'll be quick service options. It says made to order American classics for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, plus a selection of grab and go items. And then out by the pool, there'll be the Galaxy Bar and Galaxy Grill at Stella Nova, and then the Moonrise Bar. And here's some pictures for those of you watching the video version of the podcast of the Stella Nova Resort. Here's the rooms, very kind of spacey, kind of themed. One thing, you know, I think we could chat about is the exterior of these hotels. They are very pretty.
They're gorgeous. And I distinctively remember driving one day, seeing some of those pieces being brought over to put on it. And it's just like the scale of... Mm-hmm. One, the scale of how they built it and how it looks. And it's just, it reflects the light so beautifully that it's like whatever direction you're looking at it, it looks slightly different. And it's a different type of space theme than I think we're used to seeing. Like, yes, it does do a lot of like classic homages to like just outer space, but it mm-hmm. brings it all together architecturally so beautifully. I mean, I'm definitely excited to stay with my little one there and just see how they do it, because I love a good Universal hotel. They do a phenomenal job with their theming.
Yeah, even with their value resorts.
Yeah, you know?
I mean, we've done a staycation with the kids at Endless Summer, and it's such a great resort. It's affordable. You know, when they come out with the pass holder rates, you know, it's such an affordable rate. And then the amenities, obviously, like I mentioned, each resort will feature a nearly 10,000 square foot pool with a hot tub, with seating, fire pit, and more. Fitness center, game rooms, recreation rooms. And then, of course, each hotel will feature, got to have that merchandise, a Universal Orlando Resort store. Guests staying at Stella Nova Resort and Terra Luna Resort will also have early park admission to Volcano Bay, Diagon Alley, and Hogsmeade up to 1 hour before the park opens. So early entry will be part of these resorts, which is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. And then opening dates, Stella Nova will be opening January 21st, 2025. And Universal's Terra Luna Resort will be opening February 25th, 2025. And I forgot to write down the rates, but I think it was like 147.
Yeah.
I think it was like 147, somewhere around there a night, which, like we were just saying, is super cheap, super affordable for families to go and check out. Like I said, not much for us to talk about. I just kind of wanted to go over some of the details that were released for these two resorts. And they're rocking and rolling with the construction. You know, you can see it right from Universal Boulevard. Mm-hmm. As you're driving by, and they're progressing very nicely. I think we've seen some video of there's going to be little, like, not really strobe lights, but little, like, I guess you could call them strobe lights flashing on the side of the building that kind of give the illusion of stars.
Yeah, stars, galaxies, yeah.
Yeah, so that looks really cool. So yeah, I'm very curious to see these things at night when they're all lit up and going on. And of course, this is not the only resort that'll be on property right there by Epic Universe. The Universal Helios Grand Hotel, which will be the big Mac Daddy hotel, is progressing nicely over there at mm-hmm. Epic Universe as well. And we didn't go over that on the on the last podcast. We're doing some catching up still. We started the podcast and all this Epic Universe stuff was announced. So, but yeah, the Universal Helios Grand Hotel looks absolutely amazing. And the fact that some of these rooms are going to be facing the park, the views are going to be absolutely phenomenal. I can't wait to see what that resort looks like when it's all said and done. So
yeah, excited for more details about this one, because I think there's been a lot that's still under wraps about what exactly it's going to consist of and a lot of like just the architecture and everything in general. But it's the fact that you're going to be able to reserve rooms that you could see the park is just one of those kind of bucket list experiences, especially for those who are really into, you know, going to theme parks.
All the theme park drinkers are wondering if Grand Helios will have Helios Grand Hotel is going to have a rooftop bar. Everybody's like, just give us the rooftop bar. That's all.
Fingers crossed, because that would be incredible.
Yeah, I mean, it kind of looks like from this perspective, there's people up there on the top balcony. So we'll have to see if that's a restaurant, a bar. I guess we'll just have to wait and see when Universal, because they have not. They just announced the hotel. They haven't announced really any details yet, as Janine was saying. So we'll have to when we get those details from Universal, we will bring them to you guys. So, all right, Janine, let's move on to the fun stuff.
The fun stuff. Oh.
The hotels are fun, but
just seeing the dragons and just knowing the scale of what's going on with this. I know we've talked about how we both were excited because we're like, oh, dragons. We love dragons. But then when some of the other things came up, like with Dark Universe and the other pieces of the Wizarding World, we're like, how does this land kind of fit in on the excitement scale? And I think it's just since the other details have been released, it's skyrocketed to the top of the list. It's going to be absolutely insane.
I don't think anybody was anticipating this land, this scale, this size, this detail. You know, everybody was like, oh, How to Train Your Dragon. It's going to be the
super
it's going to be the cute little kids. Yeah. You know, it's going to be the cute little kitty land. You know, no, this land, I have to say, besides, you know, the whole park is looking fantastic, but you can't argue that the How to Train Your Dragon Isle of Berk land is visually the most impressive land so far. You know, I mean, the Wizarding World section, it's buildings. You know, we've all seen Super Nintendo World. It's impressive, not to take away from it. And then what else? Dark Universe, you know, it looks fantastic. It looks dark. It looks dreary. It looks like it's going to be our new home away from home. As far as just scale and detail and just, it was unbelievable when they announced this land and they showed that fly through video of flying through the land, which I watched probably 1,000 times. Just the scale of this land is unreal. How much they just got crammed into this land. And it's huge. It's not a small land.
The fun fact was like 15.5 acres.
Yeah.
Crazy like that.
I actually have it here. Hold on. Let's go ahead and read it now. It says How to Train Your Dragon Isle of Berk, 15.5 acres with a total of 162,500 square feet of rock work, making it a Viking village for dragon size adventures. So it's
just considering the scale of that. And I know one of the other pieces, like jumping kind of into the description of the land, that the two Viking statues that are in the village are 40 feet tall each.
Yeah.
And I know when we've been seeing like aerial construction photos, they just look so immense among everything. And the fact that they're going to be set within the lagoon.
Yeah.
Come on. It's just, it's anyone who likes How to Train Your Dragon, it's an absolute dream type land.
I'm going to take your comment there about people that have seen How to Train Your Dragon and express my rage at the amount of people that have not seen How to Train Your Dragon. Because when this was announced, you know, people were retweeting and sharing Thrill Geek's article, and everybody was going, oh, well, I guess I got to see the How to Train Your Dragon movies now. And I'm like, wait,
you haven't seen them?
You haven't seen them? And, you know, I get it. Some people haven't seen them, but the amount of people that were sharing our articles and our videos, it blew my mind how many people have not seen the How to, at least the first one.
Yeah.
I was blown away. So, you know, like I said on Twitter, I was shaming all my friends that have not seen the How to Train Your Dragon movies yet. I was like, shame on you. Shame on you. You know, at least the first one, you know, they're all great. I think the first one is the best. The sequels have really good villains, but the first one just it's phenomenal. It's such a good movie. I'm gonna calm myself before I rage out too much about all the people that haven't seen How to Train Your Dragon movies, because we have a lot to get into. The I'm not gonna read the description. There's gonna be 4 attractions in the entire land, meet and greets. There's gonna be food. There's gonna be all sorts of stuff. So let's dive into the first thing, which is food. Here's for those of you watching the video version. We were just talking about the scale of this land. This is kind of an overview of the land, just giving you the scale of how big this land is. And it's pretty darn impressive how big this land is. So, all right, moving on. Like I said, to food, Mead Hall, which is I'm super excited about this restaurant because I'm hoping and praying that this restaurant delivers on scale. I don't know about you, Janine. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, when they first announced this, my thought immediately went to the restaurants within the Wizarding World for some reason, just because of like the theming and everything like that. But I think, like you said, I'm hoping for massive scale, massive dining hall, really immersing you inside of the land even more. But yeah, again, for those who are being able to see the video, just the concept renderings look like this big, grandiose hall with all the Viking pieces
and giant chandelier giant, out there up above.
And I know that they said, too, that the menu is going to be a pretty decent variety of meat, fish, sandwiches, all sorts of different types of fare. So that's one thing I know from seeing anything that we have about Epic Universe so far is the food sounds fantastic and very well thought out and very well themed to every single one of the different lands. So very excited to see how this all parses out.
Yeah, you pretty much nailed it with the description. Like you said, it says it'll feature meat, fish, sandwiches, and desserts. Beverages include assorted meads, ciders, and ales. So there's going to be, you know, a lot of adult beverages for the adults to enjoy inside Mead Hall as well. But yeah, I'm hoping they nail the scale of this because, you know, when you think of a Viking, you know, dining hall, the first thing that comes to my mind is scale. You want this giant, you know, dining hall. And I think the picture pretty much delivers on that with all this dragon concept artwork on the walls. It looks phenomenal. So yeah,
it looks like a lot of intricate woodworking too, which I think will be really neat to see. Because again, Universal does a phenomenal job with their theming overall and like any type of scale that they do, but it just seems like there's been so many little pieces of thought and detail put into, you know, this specifically, and it's a restaurant.
So it's
just something that's really exciting to see.
So all right, let's move on to the show that will be inside How to Train Your Dragon Isle of Berke, The Untrainable Dragon, which this show will be inspired by the one over at Beijing, which is just called Untrainable. And I'm actually going to read the little description that they give about this show. It says, this dragon-filled live spectacular takes guests on an unforgettable journey with beloved characters Hiccup, Toothless, Gobber, and Astrid as they work together to solve the mystery of the untrainable dragon. This heartwarming story comes to life with captivating musical numbers, breathtaking sets, and life-size dragons soaring overhead. Janine, I don't know, have you seen the videos, some of the video clips of the Beijing one? It looks pretty impressive.
The scale of the dragons is almost unfathomable.
Yeah.
It's just, they are so incredibly impressive. And just like, I remember the first time that I saw the video, again, knowing, you know, there's AI everywhere on the internet now, I didn't think it was real. And then continued down the rabbit hole of finding more and more videos of it. And it's just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Like, it's one of those that I know we all have been mentioning, like, the how important live entertainment is within the parks and being able to see more and more of this. And I'm truly excited to be able to see this and the scale of it. Just seeing, again, that it being inspired by Beijing's, I think that it's going to blow everyone out of the water.
Yeah, the clip that I always see on TikTok and stuff of the Beijing one is the finale where Hiccup comes out on Toothless and flies over the audience. And I'm just like, oh my God.
Yeah.
That moment is unbelievable. And just how detailed some of the other dragons look on the stage and everything. When there was talk of a How to Train Your Dragon Land possibly coming to Epic Universe, the one thing that I wanted was, if not the actual Beijing show to come over here, if not something based on it. And that's exactly what we got with the Untrainable Dragon. For those of you watching the video version, here's a concept artwork. Again, Toothless, Hiccup comes out on Toothless towards the end of the show and flies over the audience and he's flapping his wings. And it's phenomenal. I mean, if you don't want any spoilers, don't look it up. But if you're one of those people that wants to see it, just go on YouTube and search up Universal Beijing Untrainable Dragon Show. And there's all sorts of clips out there. It's incredible.
Yeah.
I think I could watch. Yeah. I could watch all the clips in the world and I'm still not going to be prepared for this when I see it in person. So
no, again, we've chatted so many times about just like the love of anything dragon related. Yep. I think just being actually in the theater and being able to see it in person, I don't even know how I'm going to be able to like grasp the scale.
Contain ourselves.
No, it's going to be great. But this was one of those pieces too, when they initially announced The Land, that I was excited about also, just because again, the clips from Beijing are unreal.
Yeah, it's pretty impressive. So I cannot wait to see the Untrainable Dragon at Isla Burke. And of course, we're going to get some meet and greets, and you're going to be able to meet Toothless and Hiccup. You know, we were just talking about how we're going to be unconsolable with this show. When I get to meet Toothless and Hiccup for the first time, it's probably going to be more emotional than me meeting Mickey Mouse for the first time. I am beyond excited that we're getting a Hiccup and Toothless meet and greet. I just hope that, you know, because they know everybody's going to want to do it. The whole hand, you know, reaching out, and call me cheesy, call me, you know, what you want. But I hope that they make that part of the meet and greet, you know, because that's what I want. So are you excited, Janine, to meet Toothless and Hiccup?
Again, I think also for me, I have a 19, almost 20 month old. And so just thinking about her being able to go and see these meet and greets, like she's met several of Disney characters. She loves them. But again, just being able to go and do this, I feel like it's one of those experiences I only think that Universal would be able to pull off.
Yeah,
and it's really exciting. But yeah, I agree. I hope that the meet and greet and the posing and everything really has those elements too. I'm excited again, just being able to go and say hi to a dragon. Come on.
Yeah. You know, going off of kids, you know, I have three of them, you know, and my wife and I, we had How to Train Your Dragon music in our wedding. So
yeah,
it's got a personal spot for that reason. So yeah, when I'm there with all three of my kids and my wife, it's going to be something else to be able to finally meet Toothless and Hiccup. They did do a meet and greet with a form of Toothless back at Universal Studios Hollywood. There are some videos out there of it. I think this one's going to be a little more sophisticated. This was like a person. You could tell how they were kind of poised in the costume. I'm hoping this one is a little more sophisticated as far as like a puppet or even an animatronic. I don't know how they're going to do it. I'm guessing it's going to be a puppet, but maybe a little more sophisticated.
Yeah. My initial thought was some of the ways that they've done things with the Raptor encounter, that they take some of that technology and modify it. But again, there's been so many new innovations that have been developed for this park that we still don't have all of the details. And it's really exciting as each of them continues to unfold, just to see what we're going to be in for.
I'm super excited to meet Toothless and Hiccup at Isla Burke. Beyond excited. So, all right, let's get into the rides. Yeah, because we have a lot of rides to talk about. Yes. Believe it or not, there's a lot of rides in this land. First up is Hiccup's Wing Gliders. There'll be a 40-inch height requirement for this coaster, which looks pretty impressive for a family coaster. It spans pretty much a big chunk of the land. If you go back and you watch the video of the flyover, it goes pretty much all throughout the land. Ginny, what do you think about Hiccup's Wing Gliders?
I mean, I think that the concept art, so again, for those who are being able to watch, just seeing the concept art of it going over the water and just seeing it fly around the perimeter and soar around, it just, again, always will be missing my dueling dragon babies, but being able
to have
another dragon themed roller coaster, especially one that's going to be so well themed, well tailored for kids, but also having so many elements of thrill from what we've been able to see, that it'll just be a really good they're doing a phenomenal job again with what they're doing, with the way that they're doing each of the rides for each of the lands and how there's enough for every member of the family to really do, based on the way that we're seeing the height requirements and the play areas and things like that. So I think it looks super cool. I'm excited. I know this is one of those that when we're seeing a lot of like the flyovers and a lot of the other pieces about Epic Universe, I don't think we've seen too much about this one's construction. We've seen some, but not nearly as much as what we've seen of some of the other rides. So I'm really curious to see how it looks. I'm excited that there's going to be another dragon roller coaster back at a Universal.
Not doing dragons, but you know, it's How to Train Your Dragon. So
it's still pretty cool.
The description gives us a little bit of the storyline for the coaster. It says Hiccup invites brand new Vikings to take a ride in his latest glider contraption. a winged flying machine that launches aspiring dragon riders into the sky for a dragon's eye view of Berk. Guests will fly alongside Hiccup and Toothless and reach speeds up to 45 miles an hour as they soar around the perimeter of Berk and even through the lagoon while experiencing firsthand what it's like to fly on a dragon. I'm super excited. It looks like a really fun family coaster. Fairly thrilling. 45 miles an hour for a family coaster is
pretty good.
That's pretty good. That's a pretty good clip of speed. So
I mean, especially thinking about like the 40-inch height requirement, that's pretty low.
That's pretty short. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I'm trying to think what some of the other ones are. Like the Hippogriff.
I can't remember what 44. Flight of Hippogriff is in Potter. I want to say it's 42.
Okay.
I think. But yeah, apparently they have this coaster will have some type of lap bar restraint that they allow 40-inch height requirements. So, that's
awesome
in my book, as long as it's safe and everything is good to go. You know, more kids will be able to experience this could be a lot of kids' first coaster. I mean, come on. How to Train Your Dragon, as your first coaster. That's pretty cool.
Pretty neat.
Yeah. So all right, moving on to Dragon Racers Rally. And I have to mention, it's really cool how each of the rides in this land kind of has a character it's themed to. Obviously, Hiccup's Wing Gliders is themed to Hiccup. Let me read the description really quick. It says, Berk's new Viking racers can practice aerobatic maneuvers and high-speed barrel rolls on two Viking-made dragon-riding trainers that reach heights of up to 67 feet in the air. Guests can control how wild or mild their experience will be as they perform high-flying, gravity-defying swoops and soaring skills that are necessary to earn the accolades worthy of a true champion dragon racer. This is probably going to be a one and done for me. I don't know about you, Janine.
So I've done one of these ride styles before, and I definitely did it the mild version. I know I've seen versions of it where people have been flipping in the air.
There's a viral video of the Ninja Turtle one at Mall of America.
Yes.
People have probably seen it. This lady's on it and it's just spinning and spinning. I was like, I would be, all over the place.
That's the one I went on and nobody went. So I tried rocking it a little bit and I immediately got nervous.
You're like, nope.
No, I can do any roller coaster. It doesn't bother me.
Same as me.
One of these flat rides. There's just something, but I still think with the way that it's being themed and being able to see from the vantage point of the 67 feet in the air over the entirety of the land is something that will be really neat. But yeah, I think this is one of those that I'm likely going to prefer going to the coaster versus going to this.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you there.
Yeah, but it still theming wise looks so neat and so well.
Yeah, they got they're building the bleachers, that you see on Berk, when they're doing the dragon training and stuff. It's themed almost to the dragon. I mean, the name of the ride is Dragon Racers Rally. So it's themed to the dragon training area where the kids would go and they would train against the dragons with the bleachers up above and that sort of thing. So it looks really cool. And you can see some of the sheep down here with the targets and the bullseyes on them. Apparently, those are going to be all over the land from what we've seen. Mm-hmm. Obviously this ride has been there for a while. They've been testing it. I'll be right there with Janine and I'll gladly pass this and, I'll ride it. It'll be a once in a very blue moon ride for me.
Yes.
That I will not go out of my way to ride because Janine nailed it for me as well. I can do roller coasters all day long, but some of these spinning rides and then you can spin the thing you're sitting on. I'm good.
Just my equilibrium does not jive. Yeah, I will probably be the person that is screaming very loudly while there are children on it.
Yep. Honestly. Yep. And for those of you watching the video version of the podcast, here's another angle. Again, this one you can see the sheeps better with the targets on them. This is a better view of the entrance of the attraction. And this will, speaking of the attraction, it will have a 48-inch height requirement. So this is a little bit taller than obviously Hiccup's Wing Gliders at a 40-inch height requirement. So moving on to Fire Drill.
Fire Drill.
These rides. I know Legoland has one. Yeah. I don't know if have you been on the one at Legoland?
I got very wet.
Get soaked.
Yeah.
there is no escaping. You can't not get absolutely soaking wet on this ride. you know, and I'm sure this one looks like it'll be no different.
Yeah.
But again, this ride is themed to Rough Nut and Tough Nut, the twins in the How to Train Your Dragon movies. And it says mischievous Viking twins, Rough Nut and Tough Nut invite teams of Vikings to compete, to outscore and outsoak each other on this wet and wild boat battle. Guests will board a colorful dragon headed boat and blast water cannons at flame-like targets to practice putting out fires, a crucial skill to master when living with dragons. So this ride looks, it'll be a phenomenal ride for the little ones again. I said this when they announced the land. Universal went from, you know, always being that kind of teenager park, not, you know, really sort of catering to the little ones, to quite possibly having one of the best family themed theme park attraction lands like ever.
This one also is children under 48 must be accompanied by an adult, and then no handheld infants. So that opens up the range of, if your child's ready to go on a ride, this could be one of their first water attractions, one of their first water rides. So, and again, yeah, the theming, and for those who are able to see the visual, seeing the dragons inside of the water, it's just, it's unreal how they built all of this.
I thought I had two photos for that, but apparently I didn't. but this gives you an idea of the ride. Basically, you're on a boat, and I don't know. I know the one at Legoland has people off on land that can shoot at you. I don't know. I'd have to look at one of the aerial photos from BioReconstruct on Twitter to see if this fire drill one will have, because that's where you get soaked at the one at Legoland, is you're driving by and those people can just absolutely drench you.
Yeah.
This fire drill ride looks fantastic. And again, this ride looks like it'll be kind of in the middle of the land. For those of you that were kind of looking at the main concept artwork, it'll be part of the lagoon, which, you know, and who doesn't love a good, you know, boat ride in the middle of Florida in summer. So I'm excited to check this one out as well.
Yeah. And like the Legoland one too, the fun interactivity of working with everybody on your boat. Like, it's a really good ride to just have fun with the whole family, have fun with other people who are also enjoying the park. I'm excited. I love a good water ride. Like you said, it was 95 degrees yesterday. It's already getting up there, already getting ready to go, you know, go back on Bluto's for my
and it's
time.
April.
My one time of the year. Yeah. And it's April. very excited for this one.
Yeah. So, all right, moving on. This is another phenomenal one for the little ones. This is Viking Training Camp. This will be basically your giant playground that you see at your theme parks. Think like Camp Jurassic. Mm-hmm. That's the best comparison I have for this is Camp Jurassic, the big obstacle course playground area that they have over there in Islands of Adventure. Junior Vikings will discover all types of dragons in this sprawling, colorful, interactive play area. Adventures include multiple towers to climb and explore, a fun agility course, Viking drums and chimes to play, an interactive sheep launcher game, which sounds phenomenal.
Yeah, that is so neat.
And plus slides and activities for the youngest Vikings. I'm very curious how this interactive sheep launcher game is going to pan out. And I was trying to find it in the concept artwork. I don't know where it is in the concept artwork, and it's a pretty detailed concept artwork. I'll have to get in there and look a little bit closer, but I don't know. Maybe it's up here underneath this canopy area up here in the middle.
It's still, like you said, it's making this one of the best possible family themed lands in any theme park that's going to be in Orlando, you know, potentially in the country. And it's one of those things that there's so many ways that you'd be able to interact and play that for the littles who may not be at that 40-inch height requirement. If the rest of the family is going on one of the rides, can take over here, that there's limitless things for them to be able to do and explore. And it's bright, it's colorful, it's everything that you would want in a kid's training camp. So I'm excited to do this myself, honestly. I know I'm gonna be a little toddler around. I'm excited, but I'm very curious about the sheep launching.
Yeah, that sounds like the most interesting part of this play area. But yeah, that's How to Train Your Dragon, Isle of Burke. Again, as we wrap things up here, here's an overall view of the land, and it's pretty darn impressive how big this land is. And we still have Epic Universe as a whole. We still have the Potter Land, Super Nintendo World, Dark Universe, to go. So, you know, they started off with a biggie here with the How to Train Your Dragon Isle of Burke. And again, here's, look at the coaster. The coaster goes over the whole, pretty much the whole left half of the land.
Yeah.
It's pretty darn impressive. So, yeah. All right. I think we kind of breezed through that pretty quickly, which is fine. Anything else, Janine, that you wanted to chat about with Isle of Burke, anything that we didn't go over? We can wrap this up.
Mostly just thinking about the way that they've been doing the announcements too, that you're really beginning to see with Epic Universe, how holistic and how well thought out every individual piece of it was.
Yeah.
And it's like, as soon as you go through one of those portals, like with Isle of Burke, you're fully transported. It's like, even with how we see things at like Islands of Adventure, when you're going from each of the individual lands, there's like, you know, a little bit of thematic transition. Just going through these portals, though, makes you feel like you are in a completely different theme park, that you could probably spend the majority of your day in each one of these individual lands. And there's so many different things to see and do. But no, I didn't really have anything else except I know Love Dragons wasn't necessarily one of the top lands that I was thinking of when looking at Epic Universe. And now it is shot up to the top of my list just because there's so much for everyone to be able to do. And again, it just looks absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. Like I said, when we started this episode, I think this land shocked everybody at the scale, the detail, I think it blew a lot of people away. And, you know, hey, I said I was upset at a lot of people for not seeing the How to Train Your Dragon movies, but if this inspires, you know, people to go see the movies, then, you know, hey, that's fantastic, because somebody told me how many the box office numbers of all three movies, and it's up there.
It's one of the better grossing children's film series of all time. And this is just going to be a great reminder to rewatch, or again, for those who haven't watched the first time, they are phenomenally done. They're beautifully done.
And a lot of DreamWorks movies, you see the progression of the animation, and, you know, as the How to Train Your Dragon movies went on to the Hidden World, you know, the last one, you know, it's phenomenal, the upgrades that DreamWorks did in their visuals department, just making things detailed, the dragons, the scales, you know, just they're such beautiful movies, as you said. So, all right, well, let's get on out of here. Janine, thank you again so much for climbing on board the podcast here. I'm excited to have you on. Again, look for Janine, hopefully pretty regularly. We're going to have her on, you know, and you just kind of nerding out about whatever we're doing with the podcast here. So thank you to everybody for tuning into our first episode. I was kind of keeping tabs on how many downloads and everything, and we're doing good. So again, thank you for everybody for listening. We're glad to be back, and hopefully Barry will be back here and on the next episode. Again, for those of you that are new, we are sticking to our bi-weekly schedule. It's easier on me. It allows us to be a little more flexible with our topics. Like, again, this week was perfect because I went back and I looked at all the theme park news, and there was some stuff, but I figured I'd rather take something like this and spend, you know what, we're at 40 minutes, you know, and I'd rather just take a deep breath and relax and talk about one big thing than just kind of monotonously going through the theme park news. So this was great. So thank you again, Janine, for hanging out with us and chatting with us. Did you want to plug any socials, tell people where to follow you?
Following on Twitter is typically where I do anything related to theme parks. And it's a Janine Brandt and then an underscore. Always down to chat theme parks, horror nights, horror movies, metal music, you name it.
All the good stuff. So as far as I go, you guys can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at IMCG83. And then, of course, I much rather you prefer Thrill Geek, follow Thrill Geek everywhere on all the socials. We are Thrill Geek everywhere except for Pinterest. Pinterest is Thrill_geek, but don't worry about that. Pinterest is literally a dumping grounds for our articles. So if you have a Pinterest and you want to follow us on Pinterest for some reason, by all means. But that's the only one that's Thrill Geek was taken for some weird reason. And I didn't even look up what the Thrill Geek account was on Pinterest. But everywhere,
yeah, I'm gonna do that later.
Yeah. I was like, who has Thrill Geek on Pinterest? It was so random. But Facebook, YouTube, Instagram, TikTok, everything else is Thrill Geek. So make sure you're following us. If you're watching the video version of this podcast on our YouTube channel, be sure to hit that thumbs up. leave a comment below. What do you guys think about How to Train Your Dragon Isle of Berk? Let us know in the comments. So anyways, guys, yeah, thanks so much for listening. We appreciate you guys, and we will see you guys in a couple weeks.
Awesome.